Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It's good to see each of you tonight have this opportunity to worship our Lord together. Our church has been blessed so much in so many ways, but I think no greater way than a faithful pastor that teaches us God's word. Such a blessing, and we appreciate our pastor, don't we? And when you have to prepare a few times in a row, you appreciate the pastor even more. It's a work. It's a work. People think, well, you just get up there and talk. No, that's not God's servants. That's not the way it works. So tonight, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I want us to look at verses number 12 and 13. Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 12. The scripture says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. In these two verses that we'll look at tonight, we see that Solomon contrasts those who fear the Lord God versus those who do not fear the Lord God. And to start with, I want us to think for just a second, what is it to fear God? What is it to fear God? To fear God, as it's in the scripture, is to reverence the Lord God, to reverence him. It's to think highly of God. To think so highly of God that when things don't go our way and we don't think that they should even be the way that they are, to know that he's the all-wise, all-good God, and that he works all things according to the counsel of his will, and he works all things for the good of his people. To think highly of him. It's to revere God. It's to respect him. To respect God. How can people take the name of the Lord in vain just, so flippantly? Because they don't reverence the Lord. They don't fear him. They don't respect him. And it's to hold him in high regard. That's what it is to fear God. So what are some of the evidences that we fear God? There are blessings in these verses that are for those who fear God. How can we know? What are some of the evidences that one fears God? If we fear God, first of all, we will try to live our lives in accordance to God's revealed will. That is, his word. Those who fear God try to live their lives in accordance with God's word. Secondly, we will attempt. You notice the word, we will attempt. Though we fail so often, though I fail so often and fail so miserably, yet we attempt to live our lives in such a way that will bring glory and honor to our God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's the desire of one who fears God. It's a desire to honor and glorify God in this world. And thirdly, we desire to know God's will for our life. And we attempt to follow what we believe to be the Lord's leading in our life. Now, I don't know about you, but, we have God's revealed will, his word, and that's firm as a rock. There's no need to question or wonder if you read it in God's word. That's God's will for us. But as we walk through this world, there are a lot of decisions that we need to make that are not so clear. And we try to follow what we believe to be God leading us. And I appreciate the songs that Brother Bill picked tonight. That last song, he leadeth me. God knows if your desire is for him to lead you. He knows. And you say, well, can a believer make a mistake? Oh, goodness gracious. Can a believer make a mistake? Sure. Sure. Sure we can. Having said that, God overrules even that. So that's evidence that one fears God. Well, what about evidence that one doesn't fear God? What are some of the evidences that someone doesn't fear God? Number one, those who do not fear God, first of all, they don't consider God. We could stop right there. They just don't consider God. You know, they don't consider God's word, His revealed will, what He has declared on how we should live our life. Someone who doesn't fear God, they don't care about God's word. They don't care what He said. Number one, they don't believe that He even said it. And if it were not for the grace of God, that's where I would be tonight, and that's where you would be tonight. That's how we come into this world. We don't have any fear for God. You notice here, Solomon describes it. He says, though a sinner, verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times. 100 times, Solomon's not saying, you know, you count from 1 to 100. That's what he's saying there is showing just a total disregard for living their life, trying to live for the glory of God. That's what he's referring to there. They don't consider how their actions may reflect upon the Lord God. And they don't desire to know God's will for their life. They really don't want to know. In fact, they will be the queen and king of their life. Like that song that we heard many times before, I did it my way. That is a good description of someone who doesn't fear the Lord God. And believer, don't envy those. Don't envy those who live their life with no regard for God, and live their lives in disregard for King Jesus. Don't envy them. Even if everything seems to be going their way. For you see, as Solomon says, it shall not be well with the wicked. Notice verse 12. This is interesting. Verse 12, he says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. You notice he says, and his days be prolonged. He says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. And then in verse number 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. Everything seems to be going their way. Living their life in disregard for God's will, and everything just seems to fall into place for them. And it seems like their days are just prolonged. But then he says, but their days shall not be prolonged. It's like a shadow. They live for a time in this world, but then it shall not be well with those that do not fear God. We read Asaph made this mistake, don't we, in Psalm 73. He looked around him and he was envious. He says he was envious at the foolish. When he saw their prosperity, he saw how they had everything and everything just seemed to go their way, even though they were living their life in total disregard for God. And he was envious of them. That's an awful state, isn't it? To be envious of the wicked, of those that don't fear God. But then the scripture says, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. Scripture says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now, a person who does not fear the Lord, who has no reverence for God, that's just another way of describing someone who's spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. A person who's spiritually dead doesn't reverence God. Why? Because they have no spiritual life, and God is spirit. Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's the very start of spiritual wisdom. The first thing that God will create in an object of His grace that He's going to have mercy upon is the fear of Him. Someone like us walking in total disregard for God, having no no desire to know God, not seeking after God, and something's all of a sudden one day we have a concern. And now we're concerned about our condition before God. What happened? What happened? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of God's gift to a sinner. To not leave us dead in trespasses and sins, but make us aware, make us think upon God. Scripture says this, those who fear the Lord, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Do you hear that? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So I wanted to take just a few minutes in the context here to speak of, as Solomon did, the contrast between those who fear the Lord God and those who do not fear the Lord God. Do you tonight fear the Lord? Do I fear Him? Well, if we do, I want to spend the next few minutes considering the statement in verse number 12, where Solomon said, he said, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. I want to spend a few minutes on this truth. Surely I know, it shall be well with them that fear God. And I want to think about this under two major headings, and I think I'll be fairly brief. The first one is this, it shall be well with you in this life. Do you fear God tonight? Do you reverence Him? It shall be well with you in this life. Amen. And the second heading is that it shall be well with you in the next life. If you fear the Lord God, if you reverence Him. First of all, it shall be well with us in this life. It shall be well with you. You know, I try when I prepare to preach, a lot of times the Lord enables me to think this way. Maybe this is the last time that I get to speak to you, my friends. And what would I want to tell you? If this is the last time that I get to speak to you, what do I want to tell you? And this passage was upon my heart this week. I had originally planned to preach from a different passage and even prepared a message from a different passage. And then this particular passage was something that I felt that this would be good for us to look at tonight. And the first, under this heading, it will be well for you in this life. Our Father is going to provide for us what's best for us materially. He's going to provide for us what's best for us materially. We should be diligent to work as our dear God gives us opportunity to work. We should be diligent to work, and we should whatsoever our hand finds to do, we should do it with all our might. We should be diligent to work, but we should not be anxious about our needs being met. That's unnecessary, believer. You don't need to be anxious about your needs being met. Why? Because our Lord Jesus says that our Father knows what we have need of. Would you look at a passage with me? Would you look over in Luke chapter 12? I know you know this passage, but it's such a blessing to be reminded of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ here in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and first of all, look at verse number 15. Our Lord Jesus, He gives us such an important principle. May God teach us this principle. He said, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life, let us hear this, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This is the one who is all wisdom, who knows. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now look down, if you would, to verse number 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. And that, take no thought. The Lord is not endorsing here that people should not work hard and plan. And that's not what he's, that word actually means take no anxious. Don't be anxious about these things. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these lilies. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We don't need to be anxious about our provision, how God will provide for us. He's going to provide for us what is best for us. It may not be what we think is best for us, but he will. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If God gave his son for us, believer, isn't he going to give us all that we need, what he sees fit for us to have in this world? He will. That's what our Lord Jesus said here. Secondly, under this heading, it shall be well for us regardless. Listen, it will be well for us in this life, regardless of the trials and troubles and heartaches that we're going to face. We are going to this world is full of tribulation, and we're going to face these things. We're going to face trials and troubles, and we're going to face heartaches. Anybody who tells you any different is lying to you. This world is full of trouble. Having said that, it's going to be well. It's going to be well for you who fear God. In this life, in trouble, it's going to be well for you. It's going to be well for me. Why? For our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made some promises. He's made some commitments to all who believe in Him, to all who trust in Him as their Lord and Savior. When He rose from the dead, you remember what He told His disciples. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. He didn't say even unto the end of your life. No, he said, even unto the end of the world. Why? Because he was talking about all his children, not just those 12 disciples that he was with. I will be with you always. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I had some passages that I was going to have us look at, but I'm not going to do that tonight because I want to get to this, to the second heading. But when you have the opportunity, go look at Isaiah 43 and read those first 7 verses. The prophet there describes all different types of troubles and fires and heartaches, and but in all of those, God promised to be with his children. And regardless of what happens in this life, God is going to, it's going to be well. It's going to be well for those who fear the Lord. That's what God's word says. Let me move on to the second heading. It shall be well with you in the life to come. When your pilgrimage in this world is complete, it's going to be well with you. That can't be said for those who do not fear the Lord God. But for those who fear the Lord, it's going to be well with you. And my prayer tonight is that the Lord would speak to someone tonight who fears the Lord. God's given you a reverence for Him. You've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're looking to Him for all your salvation. You've asked God to accept you and receive you only based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and based on that perfect sacrifice which He offered upon the cross to pay for the sins of His people. You reverence God and you have come to Christ and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet tonight you're in trouble. Tonight you have no peace and comfort. Surely I know on the authority of God's word that it shall be well with them that fear God. Amen. Regardless of the anxiety and fears that you feel tonight, if you fear the Lord God, it shall be well with you. Are you here tonight and you're full of anxiety and fear? Perhaps you're fearful that you have not been truly regenerated. Is there anybody here that way? You believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that He is the Son of the living God and that the words He spoke were true. And He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, except a man be born again, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. And you believe that word and you're concerned tonight that perhaps you have not been regenerated, truly regenerated. Or maybe you feel that you have not been truly converted. Perhaps you're afraid that you have never repented enough. You know, we hear some of these testimonies of people that were under such awful, traumatic conviction for sin. And we compare maybe our experience to their experience and we fear, well, maybe I never really truly repented because my experience doesn't look like their experience. You think, well, maybe, you know, it was just superficial. It wasn't heart work. And, you know, it wasn't the plow didn't go deep enough. We find all kinds of ways to fear and be anxious. Perhaps you're afraid that you never came to the Lord Jesus Christ the right way. Is there anybody here that way? You fear you never came to Him the right way. No one knows how that could be possible. For you couldn't come. You would not come unless the Father had drawn you. And yet you're fearful that you didn't come the right way. The psalmist said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. You see, when do we seek the Lord? When He says to us, seek me. Seek me while I may be found. Our Lord Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, have you come to Christ? You say, well, I don't know if I've come the right way or good enough. Have you come to Him? Are you trusting Him as your only acceptance with God? No man can come unto the Lord Jesus unless the Father which has sent the Lord draw him. And the Lord said, I will raise him up at that last day. That's just another way of saying it shall be well with those that fear the Lord. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't those gracious words? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise. In other words, there is no way I will ever cast out any who come unto God by me. I think of the words of the angel that he spoke to the women that were first at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's alive. Don't be afraid. He ever liveth to make intercession for all that come unto God by Him. Wherefore, He's able to save to the uttermost. That means forevermore. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. It shall be well for those who fear God. You know, tonight, do you desire to be accepted of God only on account of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that your heart's desire? You know, God in His grace gives us opportunities sometimes in this world where we think that our life is about to expire. And in those times, where does your heart turn? It turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? And your prayer is, oh God, please, please accept me through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Don't look at me on anything I've ever done or haven't done. Please, for Christ's sake, accept me. Can you say tonight from your heart, you've heard this, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is my all in all. Is that your testimony tonight? You could not say that unless God in His mercy had done something for you. You cannot see your own nothingness unless God opens your eyes. And you cannot see the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ unless God opens your eyes. Why do people not believe? Why do people not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, number one, they don't see their own nothingness. They don't see their need. And number two, they don't see His all-sufficiency. Anyone who sees the all-sufficiency of Christ will come to Him, will plead His life, His death on their behalf. And lastly, perhaps you're full of anxiety and fear that at the last you're going to be found a reprobate, one who permanently falls away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, do you believe believers can have that fear? I know that they can. I know that we can. I know we can have that fear. And listen, none of us should have any confidence in our flesh. We shouldn't have any confidence whatsoever that we can keep ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our confidence is not in us. It's in Him, isn't it? He shall see, the Scripture says, of the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied. If it was left to us, oh, absolutely we would be reprobate. If God took His hand off of us for a split second, we would fall away. But He continues. He gave us life, and He continues to give us life. And He will give us life into everlasting. He is our life. Our life can only be snuffed out if the eternal Son of God could cease to exist. Because He is our life. We shall never perish. Why? Because He shall never die. He's our life. We're not able, but He's able. Surely it shall be well with them that fear God. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless His word. Brother Bill, could you lead us in a song, please?